Well, the current expansion, as you mentioned, we're projecting to last 10 to 15 years. But what we would do is down the road, we would look at what the need for additional capacity is. And assuming that people still need landfills and that people still feel that we're doing a decent job, we would want to pursue that. We'd probably start that many years before we needed it.
Okay. Thanks. That's really kind of my question.
As you can see, the slide here shows basically a drone survey of our site. We encompass Oak River Road, 112th Street, 8 Mile Road, and Highway 45. We do own property on the other side of 112th Street.
8 miles of county line.
Yep. The closed portions of the landfill are the North 60, South 40, and parts of the Southeast expansion. And we just recently, we've been working on 28 acres of closure on the Clearwater Pond Southeast. There's approximately 19 acres left to close. And in the closure process, we put a synthetic cap on and a clay cap along with drilling of gas wells and updating our landfill gas system. This year, our gas improvements, we did eight gas wells, almost 900 feet of piping attributed with that, 8,000 feet of headers and laterals that pull the gas out of the landfill. We've been doing some slip wells and some horizontal extraction piping in our new expansion in phase
one. Did you have any issues during that construction?
I didn't have any...
any issues that would be relevant to the community surrounding you?
No documented odor complaints that came into the site. With the any major landfill gas projects that we do, we send a letter out to the people in the neighborhood. And that seems to help out because people are a little bit more understanding what's going on with our projects. It gives a little bit of a scope and a time frame of when you know, if there is an order that it might be ending. Yeah, go ahead.
You covered that. Do you want to advance?
Yeah, we can go. We can go past that. Part of our northern expansion west, we acquired the Couillard property in 2017. I'm sure all of you know that was a junkyard or scrapyard. All the vehicles have been removed, and we're in the process of removing 18,000 yards of contaminated soil. The top 1 to 2 feet are contaminated, and we have to landfill that material. About roughly half of it's already been completed. So that's kind of a good thing. We're cleaning up areas that have been contaminated in the past, and we're going to put a landfill in that area and make sure that it's clean. I think we'll move on to the next one. I'm sure most of you have frequented our landfill residential drop-off area.
No.
Some things, from time to time, we have residents that have made comments, and we try to address them as best that we can. There's times in the summer that we have 500 people come on a Saturday. There's sometimes we have 2,000 to 2,500 people. It can really swamp the site, but I think we've been doing a fairly decent job of emptying our boxes. Scrap metal prices are kind of an up and down issue. We've been getting a lot more scrap at our site, which is not a bad thing because people are recycling it, but it ends up with a little extra glut of material. Some things that we're working on as far as trying to get people in and out a little faster. We are looking at streamlining the residency check for people that come through the gate. There's some technology out there as far as driver's license scanners, things like that. We're actively looking into that. I can't say it's going to happen tomorrow, but it's something that's going to come down the road. What happens is people come through the gate. They sign in on a sheet of paper, and it just backs people up, and it's hard to keep people moving quickly. So it's something we're looking at doing. Throughout the year, we had 2,804 loads went through that site. That's what comes out of the residential drop-off area and goes across our scale. almost 4,500 tons of material. If you quantify that into a value to the city, that's up to $300,000 that the city's not, residents are not paying.
That's 2,800 truckloads.
Yep.
Not carloads.
Truckloads. Roll-off truckloads. And then the other thing that you know, we're part of is being a partner with the city and collecting the city waste. And what Franklin alone brought in this year was 8,500 tons, which is also a value of almost $500,000 to the city.
What's interesting is drop-off center is 4,400 tons, and we collect 8,500 tons. That's a lot of stuff going to the drop-off center.
It's a lot of stuff.
That would have been an interesting piece of information when we made our decision a couple of months ago.
One thing to add to that, Mayor, is that we have other host communities that visit the site as well.
Norway.
Yeah. Yep. And the town of Raymond. The slide pictured there is we from time to time we have our own issues. During construction this year, we've shortened up our haul road going back to the new expansion cell. We used to have almost a mile worth of road going in and out of site, and we've shortened it up by at least half. So we have, time to time, we have some track out issues, which we're actively looking at options for that this coming construction season. We purchased some track out mats from a company out in New York. Trucks drive across, shakes the material out, and has helped immensely. Plus, we have our own sweeper that we have purchased on site and a third party. The complaint process, that's pretty much why we're visiting today, is we're talking about odor complaints. We've only had three complaints in 2019 that come to the site, are documented, followed up on by myself or Ryan here. Those calls came between September and the end of December, and they were within the vicinity of Oak Grove Road and inside of 92nd Street. Host community fees in the last year paid almost $2.6 million to the city of Franklin. So you're our biggest community.
We're looking for you to hit that $3 million.
We'll be pretty close. And then we also pay out in them host community fees per ton basis to the Milwaukee County, and then another $600,000 to the other communities within the host agreement. Go ahead, Ryan. As far as that goes, that's kind of our overview. We're open to questions.
Before John does that, thank you for the tour on the coldest day of the year. Alderman Nelson and I, at the top of the hill. Of course, Alderman Nelson was properly prepared. I wasn't, so Alderman Nelson.
Well, I was going to say that. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that tour. Very educational. I had no idea, living here my entire life, right up the road, what all really took place there. And I also want to thank you for, you know, letting me use your card and put that on Facebook so all the people could bother you, which was nice. And one of the things I wanted to, and I know I already talked to you about this, so just act surprised when I ask you this again and answer it so people that didn't hear me in the hallway. But, you know, the people that are complaining and the people that are bringing up these legitimate concerns with the smell, when they are legitimate, because I call Mr. Wolf often about this stuff, and it's, you know, the Muskego side, not our side. But as we try to explain that, because I don't know the technicalities behind it, and you took the time to talk to citizens, since that was posted 2 months ago, have you gotten a lot of calls?
Gotten one.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that with the new system.
I've gotten one.
That was a technique.
I know.
part of the thing that we'd like to do tonight after Joe gives his presentation is I think the Alderman and I both agree that our complaint procedure is somewhat lacking. Not that it's just difficult for our constituents to find. Not that there are a lot of complaints out there, but we have no way to document them internally. And so I'm going to, Alderman Nelson's probably going to take the lead on this, but I'm going to ask that someone make a motion to refer back to staff and Alderman Nelson to come back with or implement a complaint procedure similar to what's quarry monitoring or similar to that. Mr. Wolf still needs to get information in a timely manner. Travis needs it in a timely manner, and Joe needs it in a timely manner. But other than that, we just need to document that they're happening here. Not that we don't trust you guys. It's just there's no documentation. With that, Joe?
I can get to an internet page on this, correct?
Good luck.
Trying to find the mouse. I'll type it in and see if it works. Spelled environmental, right? Can anybody read it?
You are not.
You need an N, B, F.
Oh, environmental doesn't. JSA does. Is that ME right there?
Yep.
Okay. I would like to add, when you gentlemen came, I appreciate that very much. It was cold.
What was it, 45?
I didn't even wear a jacket.
It was like 30, maybe 20.
It was real windy.
The howling wind on the top of
that. Yeah.
That can happen. That does happen.
But what I would say is we're a pretty open book. If anybody wants to have a visit, I'm more than open to doing so.
So JSA maintains a website, jsaenvironmental.com, and if you go to that, you can actually see the past audits that we've done. Here's my presentation. I generate one of these twice per month, where I go out on the site and I compare the operation to what they have committed to not only the state and the EPA, but also committed to you as a city in the host agreement. Oh, sorry, I'm used to my voice carrying just fine. At the end of every year, I generate a lovely document like this that is also kept on this website because of its size and its cost to reproduce. This is the entire year, all the observations made. If there's negative observations that have an impact on the particular well-being of the city, they're recorded as an action item. I believe this is the 16th year. And for the most part, it's a value of my experience against what they've committed to as an operation. This year has been rather clean. There's been no action items. Most of the odor issues have been from Emerald Park. In July, we had an interesting situation where both facilities were generating odor. Any questions?
No, I will, but let's do this. Marv, can you come and tell us what the procedure is for complaints as it's currently is today? Sorry, just take the microphone. Sorry. Marv is the chairman of the Waste Management Facilities
Monitoring Committee.
Monitoring Committee.
Right. If a complaint is generated and I get notified, I usually go out from my house and investigate it to see if there is one.
So today, if I have a complaint, what do I do?
It's usually called into Travis, and then Travis lets me know, or City Hall lets me know.
And where would I find that number? I'm doing this on purpose.
That number's going to be changed. Because we're going to go to a different cell phone system, strictly that's going to be that you can post on the website and everywhere else.
The issue I'm going to have with that, I'm doing this in front of everybody, it doesn't matter. The issue I'm going to have with that is that there's no way to track that there's a complaint issued.
Right.
So what I'm going to suggest is Mr. Liberta and Mr. Metelsky and Alderman Nelson do an email notification and a text notification rather than a phone notification. That way we got documentation of it.
I have no problem with that.
Thanks. If I can interject.
Sure.
So our Alderman Nelson, after our meeting, gave me a call on a Saturday, which is fine. I'm around 24 hours a day. It's my job. We did have a little bit of a snag up with our calling process. I don't call my own site that often. It's because I'm me. I can get a hold of myself anytime. So we changed our phone tree, and there's five options on there. Typically, if you're a customer, you're calling for, you know, what hours are the landfill open. Secondly, what can I bring in? What town I'm from, if I'm from Norway or Franklin or
You mean people
Raymond.
Don't know where they're from when they call?
Well, sometimes they don't. And option five sends, if there's a landfill-related issue, it'll send that person right to my office line during operating hours. And during non-operating hours, we have an actual person that, believe it or not, we have an actual person that answers, and they'll direct it right to my cell phone. And we do that for many reasons, but number one, I can investigate it right then and there, and I can call that person back. And with the after-hours number, we have a printout that goes right to a printer, and it documents it right then and there what time that person called. So it's of the utmost importance that our phone number, the actual landfill phone number, is the one that's used, in my opinion.
You guys can work that out. We just need to have it documented, that's all.
Yep.
Marv, any other points you want to make, including that the issue is with Emerald Park, not us?
Well, a lot of the complaints I've been receiving are due to the Emerald Park. I'm receiving complaints all the way down, up and down Highway 36, south of 45. You know, I'm receiving complaints over on County Line Road, west of 45. You know, so that was part of the reason. And they're getting my phone number because of the well sampling, because we do sample wells in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they're calling me direct. You know.
Former Mayor Murray, good evening. I don't want to call you up and put you on the spot, but I will tell you that I did forward you an email that outlined at least four fire department complaints, calls for service, odor of gas, turned out to be not natural gas, turned out to be landfill odors. I forwarded that to you for your purposes with the Emerald Park.
I did receive it. The interesting thing is what they're smelling is not methane. Doesn't have a smell, it's all the stuff that's with it.
Right.
And leachate, if you ever smell leachate, you'll never forget it ever again. There have been a number of issues. Emerald Park has been working very diligently on it. I just came from our quarterly meeting of the monitoring committee for Emerald Park. Site manager Mike Hackney, who's here today as well, outline all the things that they have been doing to address odor complaints in a proactive way. Some of the things that, unfortunately, to replace some of the wells that they had to replace, you drill a 36-inch hole through existing garbage and other debris, which of course releases all of those odors, and so you have a short-term increase in odors while you repair and abate future odors. It's not like Emerald Park has not been doing things. The committee has always been very diligent following it. Muskego has a bit of a different methodology, and Sandy's probably going to kill me for this, but the calls have been all directed to city clerk's office, because there the city has a record of what's going on, and the city clerk refers it on to the director of public works, who then maintains a file for this thing. Whereas our landfill also received complaints, and we did get a printout today of all the complaints for the entire year of 2019. But it's not that we don't trust Emerald Park, but when a citizen comes back and says, how many complaints have you got? We've got it. We've got a printout of every single complaint. Who made it, what the date was, what the complaint was. We're going to try and get more information on that. Emerald Park has a little bit more information when they receive a complaint. They're getting wind direction, atmospheric pressure, temperature. All of those things do have an effect. We had one day of heavy fog, if you remember it, not too long ago. It's very low ceiling, odor complaints skyrocket. As soon as the fog burns off, no odor anywhere. That doesn't mean that's cured, but at least it's a rationale. Where is it? And having two landfills side by side across the street from each other, if the wind is coming from the west, very difficult to say that's an Emerald Park or that's a waste management. Waste management might have a complaint saying, hey, Emerald Park, I can smell it. But someone on 112th Street, they don't know who they're smelling, they just have an odor. So I know Emerald Park is working hard on it. They hope to have most of their work completed by the end of this month. They also do a drone flyover, but their drone flyover actually measures odor, pinpoints where there may be an instant, an issue, and that's where they have put in their new wells or repaired the existing wells. So it is being looked at, you know, Alderman Nelson, if you're getting a call saying no one's doing anything about it, you have information that says, oh, that's not true. People are waiting and spending a pretty fair amount of money trying to address it. Because we're getting not only in Franklin, but in Muskego, down in Norway, some in Yorkville, all those communities are affected, and the goal is to minimize the effect of any sanitary landfill on any community. We're really not worried about where is it coming from. We just want it to stop. And I'm sure you would love to have that as well, along with the rest of the council. Mr. Mayor, I think you had more important calls, or, well, maybe let's not say more important, but other matters that you've got to address. And quite frankly, odors are quality of life.
So that highlights one other issue that I'd like the operators to work together and then with the affected communities on. When there's a major project going on, Mike, like you've been doing, that have the potential to cause odors, it would be helpful for the communities to understand that you're doing that. And we could put a notice up on our websites that says you may experience some landfill odors that will subside rather quickly due to some construction activity. And that'll take care of the problem in advance as opposed to waiting for the phone call. So, again, I lay that off on Alderman Nelson. Alderman Nelson.
One of the things I was able to do is make contact when he gave me the information for the alderwoman in Muskego that has, you know, at nausea received complaints. I mean, complaints on top of complaints. And when I spoke with her, shared the same sentiments. She, you know, what they're doing and how she's handling it there. You know, their residents are, you know, that whole Champions Village is right on top of that mess. And they're really a vocal group and should be. It's exactly what the mayor said. It's a huge quality of life thing. And they want to be heard and they want results. Don't care where it comes from. Doesn't care what side of 45 it's on. Fix it. So I thank you for coming, and I think it's going on the right path. And that's interesting, Mayor, what you're saying about the drone. And that's great news and great information. And hopefully it'll have some resolution. But, again, it's a huge operation. There's going to be certain things that happen. Now, and I'm not sure if this is part, but I'll ask it anyway. Is there any update on the sale of that facility or the transfer of that facility or anything that rhymes with it?
Yes, but you're alluding to the acquisition of Advanced Disposal Services, the owner of Emerald Park, by Waste Management. That was announced back in April. It's a very lengthy process right now. It's going through the necessary government approvals. But in the interim, it's business as usual for both parties. So we remain completely separate. We don't interact in any ways that we didn't before that announcement. And our best estimate as to when that transaction might be finalized would be toward the end of this quarter or early in the second quarter. One thing that can happen as a result of that that people sometimes ask about is, will some facilities be sold to other parties or will they be closed? We won't know that until the government approvals have been completed and finalized.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the operators? Very good. Thank you for coming. Thanks, Lynn. Good to see you. I haven't seen you in ages. It's nice to see you. Joe?
Hey, would you like me to show where the audits are just so you can
look at it? Sure. Yeah. And then Alderman Barber.
So I realize that this is not reaching out and contacting you, but the work I promised to you is the twice a month visits. And that includes all the annual reports that have been done, we call them end of year. All the well sampling that's done, that's actual sampling of the wells, the drinking water wells around the landfill. And then you get two audits a month. And I've improved greatly on how up to date this is based on last week. But as an example, let's go back to November.
Uh-oh.
All right.
There
we go. So I generate a summary. Its whole purpose is to protect the reader from my handwriting. And it identifies what was done at the landfill on that day, what kind of activity has occurred. For instance, you know, one engine's been down for several months now. They took the budgetary item out and plan on bringing it back in 2020. I record that over and over again. Other things change, like the number of pickers or the equipment that's in use. And if something is out of sorts, it gets recorded back past my pictures, which was the other thing I wanted to point out. Travis is usually the person that's on the audit with me. He signs it afterwards, so it's definitely been looked at by Waste Management. I'm not doing this in a vacuum. They know what I think of their landfill at the time I'm there. It's usually pretty good. I take anywhere from 5 to 30 pictures, depending on activities with the new construction and so on. We put a lot more time into how long an audit takes and the pictures that are taken with it. Like I said, I'll jump to the bottom. These are the action items that have occurred over the last couple of years. I haven't seen a reason to click them off because it's a good representation of what kind of thing happens. It is mostly litter that has been a problem at the site since 2005 when they had their own odor problems. L-I-T-T-E-R?
You misspelled it.
I'm an engineer, not an English
professor. I dress like an engineer, now I are.
Obviously, I use cut and paste a lot.
Anybody? Alderman Barber, excuse me.
Do you do odor sensing?
I do. I don't do the drones. I do. I monitor around the landfill for odors. We have specific points that we identified in 2004. Various spots that I stop. I think it's 12 locations. Yep.
If I could add, we do quarterly surface scans with an actual person sniffing all of our wells. We haven't had a. It's a scan. Same thing. It's not a drone, but it's a scan, a physical person. We haven't had an exceedance in 3 years.
My next is, how can I give you a lender's offer to go to
it? Anytime. I'll give you my card.
This is more for Travis. Okay, so this weekend, I had an opportunity, I was watching the news, and there was a city alderman looking to ban plastic bags. And he used the Menominee Falls waste site that was littered with bags in the trees. I mean, the I don't know if it was file footage or what they actually had, but it was horrendous. So, thinking that wonderful tour day, I didn't see anything on the roadway, so I went out again Sunday afternoon. I didn't see anything. So it's just kudos to how that operation's run and what's going on there to you and the team and the staff, because I'm looking at the news watching this horrible, horrific. If you have a chance to check it out, I believe it's Channel 12 that had that on there. I mean, it was the trees are just like somebody decorated them, and it's just all this crap all over the place. We don't have that. So just kudos to you and the staff. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I'm not going to take away that compliment, but we do have occasions where we get similar situations. But the positive that you bring out is they take care of it right away. That's the positive. So, anybody else? Thank you very much. Appreciate it very much. Thank you. And thank your daughter for being here. Thanks, Michael, for showing up. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.